My guest today is sharing with us exactly how her life changed when she overcame the fear and trauma caused by multiple rapes. And it all changed the day she was able to finally take a walk by herself without having to hold her keys in her hands like a weapon. She also shares how she could finally walk up the street without fearing every man. And this has expanded her life to meet some amazing and supportive healing men, including her fantastic husband. And she says how she's turning this all around to help countless others who are in a similar situation.
You're listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
Hey, hey, hello, welcome to another episode. So glad to have you here. And I've got a really inspiring lady as my guest today. We're going to talk about some pretty intense stuff, and it leads us to somewhere really good. So do stay tuned for this. Do stick around for this. Remember, give us a like, give us a subscribe, share this amongst your friends. So who am I talking with today? Today, my guest is Shan Young. Now, Shan is she's founder of Sustainable Success Coach and CEO of the Center for Sustainable Action. She's a UN and TEDx Woman International Speaker, a multi-award-winning published author, guest writer for TheEntrepreneur.com and Authority Magazine, co-creator of SDG Assessment Tool for SMEs, CEO Activator. She's all of these things. Now, Shan trained as a health and lifestyle coach. She has helped over 5,000 women transform their well-being. Shan has contributed her expertise and experience after 20 years in business and thriving through 7 years of homelessness and being bedridden for 2 years. She's created a proven formula for sustainable health and well-being. That is my guest today. Hey, Shan, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing awesome.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Hey, it's great to have you here. Thank you for taking time out. I know you're incredibly busy at the moment, even more so than normal, and we'll explore why that is a little bit later on. So I really appreciate you taking the time out. We've heard your bio. I got to ask, who is, so we've heard your bio, but who is Shan? Who is the lady behind the bio?
Well, I'm a mum, I would say. I'm a mum. I'm very happy in my life. I have some beautiful children. I have like a 22-year-old, and then I have an 18-year-old, and then I have a 2-year-old. So there's a wide, big age gap. So right now I'm enjoying like growing another human life. So I'm somebody who's full of love. I have so much love to give on so many levels for the world, basically. So that's who I am, and that's what drives what I do, is the love of humans, of people. And I know that we need to be loved and we need to be well so that we can interact well with our environment and our people. So that's who I am, behind all them accolades and qualifications and experience and everything like that.
Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And that's why I always love that question, because we always hear people's bios, and they're impressive and they're very important and they show us what we've achieved and how we help. But you can't beat this, just asking, yeah, but who are you? Who's behind all that? Because let's face it, it's Shan the mum that we're speaking to, not necessarily Shan the CEO, etc. It's a person behind it all. And so thank you so much for sharing that. Three mother to three wonderful children. Excellent. Let me ask you a question. Now, one of the things that's behind what I do is getting people to ask people, what does your life look like if you change whatever it is that you want to change, and get people to imagine what their life would be like. was there a time, or what would be the biggest point back in your history where you would have really benefited from imagining what your life would look like if you changed something?
Well, I want to share with you today an experience I had, maybe it's about 6 years ago now, where a good friend of mine, a male friend who is really into mountaineering and climbing and outdoors activities, asked me why, when I lived in Scotland at the bottom of Benahee, why I did not go up Benahee more. And I searched myself and I realized I was actually afraid of being raped as a woman going up Benahee on my own. And that stopped me going out and doing stuff, or I would do stuff like most women know, going out with keys in your hands, like as a weapon, yeah, just in case. And I had to imagine, what would it be like if I didn't have that fear of just going up the mountain was right there, yeah, just going up that mountain on my own and not needing my friend to come with me as a support system. And he as well, I discussed this with him on the way up the mountain, and he said, he's an ex-policeman as well, by the way, so he knows the darker side of life.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said to me, the likelihood of you being raped up Benahee, I'm sorry, is frankly very remote. He said, because it's not likely that some dodgy geezer who's thinking about doing something like that is going to sit on a mountainside freezing in Scotland waiting on the just the off chance that a woman might come along, you know. And I was like, absolutely. So what would it look like if I just went for a walk? He said, you're more likely to be in trouble if you're walking around a busy city and down dark alleys in a busy city where there's opportunistic stuff that could happen, right? So that's where I started to build my calm my nervous system, because I'd actually, in my life, I've experienced 7 rapes. So, you know, it didn't just come from nowhere, that fear of being raped. I had experienced it. Never up a mountain on my own, though.
Well,
that's
no,
for sure. It's always been opportunistic in cities. I was homeless for 7 years. So, you know, a lot of the rapes happened while I was on the streets, or, you know, people would pretend that they were giving me a place of safety to eat. I remember one time I'd been on the streets for like 2 solid weeks. I was starving, I was smelly, and I just was desperate. And somebody said, oh, my parents are away, come and get freshened up, have something to eat. And then we had some drink and I woke up being raped. So I would be like, I said to him, that's your rent, you know, and left. So there was a lot of experiences like that that I had come through. And so my nervous system was pretty shot and it was expecting to be attacked. Like, that's how I was walking through life. And so this conversation made me look at my life as it was then on the hill with my friend. My life had come leaps and bounds from where it was when I was regularly attacked, right? The choices I was making in my life had completely changed. The healing I'd been through so much healing, but the way trauma works on people is it heightens your nervous system. So you're kind of always ready for something to go down, you know?
Yeah.
And so that change, that time up the hill, made me realize then that I could maybe step out and go for a walk, like just myself. Maybe not with the keys in my fist, maybe just myself. And I tested myself. I went up that mountain, Benahee, without my friend on my own. And I tell him, my heart rate, it was like walking into the face of my fear, you know? Yeah. I was looking like round the bushes and, you know, just checking, and there was no one there, you know? There was absolutely no one there. And I realized that I had been held back from enjoying the beauty that a silent lone walk up a mountain can give you. Oh, that gosh, that peace of mind. I'd not allowed myself to do that because I'd been full of fear. So I'm so glad I'd done that. And that helped me move forward and question other things that were holding me back as well.
I can imagine. And that sounds like an incredibly profound moment of realization. I mean, when you were first saying about how you were scared to go up Menihi or any other mountain in case you're attacked or raped. I've got to say, that did bring to mind for me years and years ago. I'd been out in the pub in the town with a friend, and we were walking back to mine because they were staying there because they lived miles away. We were walking back to mine, and we were taking a shortcut, a mile shortcut through country lanes and this sort of thing. It was dark. And my friend who watched perhaps one too many horror films was starting to actually genuinely get nervous and going, should we really be going this way? What if there's a mad axe murderer lurking behind one of the bushes? And it's like, oh, it's in the middle of nowhere. It's the middle of the night. No mad axe murderer is going to be lurking around a bush just in case two drunkards come wandering by. So, of course, his fear was just all in the imagination. But for you, it had a very, very real basis because of seven times you said you'd been raped.
Seven
times, my God.
First time was age 15.
Oh,
and the rape at age 15 was like an explosion in my family. And it just ripped my family apart. And then I became homeless, where I experienced, I think it was five more. And then when I picked a bad relationship because of all my education, and I was raped within the relationship. So,
naturally you're going to be, as you say, anxiety puts us on alert for anything. Of course you're going to be seven times. That's massive amounts of self-preservation are going to be kicking in there to look out for any threats. So,
and street life, you know, street life had my antenna on. I survived 7 years. I didn't do that because I don't have a good sense of impending danger what angle it's coming from, you know. But then when you're off street life, that danger is not there anymore. And when the attacks are finished, they're finished, right? And that's like what a lot of my work I'm passionate about right now is because I know there's so many people who are scared to go out. They're scared to step into their power. There's that fear holding them back. And you can understand where it comes from. It's not from no basis. It's real.
From real experience.
They're not living their fullest in their life, you know. They're not stepping into their power because they're held in this sort of prison of fear that has come from trauma, you know, and I want to help people step out of that fear. I want to help them heal enough that they can stand in their power, because I believe hurt people hurt people.
Yes.
And we need to heal. Like, we all need to heal so that we can be better for each other and for our planet.
Mm. So you look to play for those other women. You look to play the role that this policeman mountaineering friend played for you in helping you to go, wait a minute, it doesn't have to be like this.
Yeah.
He had that conversation with you, kind of pointing out, look, the chances of some weirdo lying in wait to rape somebody on Menihi are minuscule. Was it as just as quick as I was going, oh, you're right, hey, I feel good? Or did it take a bit more and take time and effort to be able to kind of accept that deep at the unconscious emotional level? So take us briefly through that journey from that spark of realization to the confidence to be able to actually go out by yourself, being you.
It takes, like, that moment was the realization. It was the call to look into myself and my life. as to how I can address this fear, because before I just didn't go up the hill.
Yeah.
I just didn't walk on my own anywhere. I just didn't. And there was no conversation linking why I didn't to the logical words of I may be attacked. And so that was my light post moment, or light bulb moment.
Light bulb, yeah.
That said, right, you need to look into this. So what I've done is I done some Reiki. I'm a Reiki master as well. So I done some Reiki, and I done meditation going back to the times where I'd been attacked, and healing me and pulling back my energy and starting to regather myself, and saying, like, if you've got all your energy spent in the past, you have no energy to create change in the now. So I started a process of healing, of going back and regathering my energy. I then done a very hard process of forgiveness. That is so hard.
It is.
You know, to forgive seven different people is like, I have to say to people, you forgive for yourself. You do not forgive for them. You know, once they've attacked you and left, that's the job done for them. They're not even thinking about you.
Yep.
You know, you may be, your world may have caved in. You may be feeling all these self-condemning feelings, but you have to forgive everybody involved, including yourself for the guilt. There's so much guilt comes up. Maybe I shouldn't, especially for women, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't look that way. I shouldn't have. You have to just forgive, and it's an incredibly hard thing to do, but it brings healing, deep healing inside you, because when you're raging and anger at somebody else who's not even there, who doesn't even feel it, who knows half the time they're not even aware they've done anything wrong because they're just stupid, and you have to forgive in order for you to move forward. So I went through a process, a very deep process. I've done inner child therapy as well, Reiki, healing, nourishing as well, like giving myself self-care. And it's kind of like inside me was just fear, and trauma. And the outside shell was a housing for that. But fear and trauma inside is not a good grounding or stability of person. And it causes internal rot. I had IBS. I was sick all the time, you know. So internally, I was rotting from the feelings and the hurt and the trauma. And so it's been a long journey. You know, it's a journey that is hard because you have to face your demons. You have to forgive, and you have to walk forward, and then you have to nourish yourself. And you have to expect better. You know, one of the strong messages I wanted to share with you today about this is that not all men are like that, right? And after being attacked that many times and living on the streets and seeing some really dodgy men, I have met some amazing men as well. And one thing I knew, because I did pick a wrong man to have my son with, because I was desperate for love and I was still in that messed up state. You know, I realized very soon on, when I became a single mother, that my conversation and rhetoric coming out my mouth all the time was, there's no good men. Men are all this and men are all that. And this was just poison coming out my mouth through lack of forgiveness, through pain, through hurt. And I was informing my life. And literally, I ended up in a business that was all about women, and I basically barely saw a man for about 7 years because I taught my life that all men are not good.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And so your life becomes what you make of it. And so this life became a lot of single women, a lot of single mothers, a lot of single women saying about how bad men are. And yes, there are some bad men. But not all men are bad. And like that friend I told you about on the hill, he came into that space as a, he's a husband of one of my instructors when I run my pole fitness studio. And he's just an amazing guy. He just is. And he helped me look around and say, you know, he's an honorable man. He's loyal. And then more men like this started to show up in my life who were honorable and loyal and gently, without even saying it, informed me of how awesome I am and how I deserve to be treated in a certain way, because I hadn't been educated that as a young girl.
Yeah.
So my message would be like, there's a lot of awesome men out there. And if you want a good man in your life, you've got to stop saying that all men are bad, because you won't find the good ones.
Well, true enough. And that this is the sort of thing that you now help, well, 5,000 and counting women to help themselves get over whatever's happened with them in the past and help them to really build a solid and powerful future for themselves and for those who are important to them.
Yeah, and that love. You know, in the studio, we had women who come in and they just, you know, it's hard. It's hard having babies. It's hard growing humans. You know, the position a woman's in is hard, you know. So we had these women that were just not their self anymore. They'd shrunken inside somewhere. And so I help to heal fast, to come out, to own your whole body, to own the space you're in, and to project goodness into the world, because then the world gives you goodness back.
Nice. So as what you put out is what's reflected back to you.
Yeah.
So how do you help these women to make these changes and to become their full selves?
Well, at the moment, I'm doing it through my book that's coming out soon, right?
Okay.
It's like I looked at my life and this is how I made my sustainable health and well-being model as well. I looked at the steps that I'd taken after every time I'd been abused. How did I come back out of that? How come I didn't just die and give up? You know, and I saw 5 clear steps that I had taken to regenerate myself, to regather myself, to fill my inner space with strength and beauty. And then I put them into my book on a 5 Steps to Recovery program. So that's what I'm bringing forward just now, because I'm all about health and well-being. But at this point in time, this has been on my heart for so long, this book. 2 years before I even said I was going to release it, it sat on my hard drive, and it was my son who said, it's time to get this book out, Mum.
It's time.
Yeah. You know, especially with, I think it was Sarah, the woman in London who got killed.
Oh, yes.
You know? Yeah, my son was like, your book needs to get out now. You can't. He says, it's not right for me to keep it on the shelf, you know, hidden in my hard drive.
Yes.
Because the 5 steps at the back are for anybody who feels that they have been abused or attacked in any way, or even just lost their self in life. It's about creating this safe zone where you can start to take the steps to come to who you are, to come and build a life around you that is what you want. And it's safe for you, no matter what you've been through, to enter into a world that you want in a way that you want. So that's how I'm doing it just now, is through the book that I'm releasing.
Got it. And it does sound like an incredibly powerful book. And thanks to your son for giving you the drive to actually take that step and get the book out there and into the hands of those who really need it. Now, I know you're not doing just a normal, hey, publish a book, then the book's out. You're doing something a bit more special to launch it and really get it out there. Tell us a little bit about what's going on there.
Yeah, well, I'm doing a crowdfunder campaign.
Okay.
And there's a few reasons I'm doing this. I've written the book already. The content's there. But I want it to be a collaborative conversation. I want to bring this, if you need it, if you want it, if you feel it will be powerful, part of the solution for people who have suffered rape to recover. And so I want that conversation to be had between supporters who want to see that book out. Like Rape Crisis have said that they're going to support it and put it on their website. And I'm giving 10% of the profits to them, mm-hmm. you know, because I just want people who have been attacked like that to go up the mountain, you know, just yeah. I want them not to waste any more of their life getting like hidden in that box inside themselves and just operating and believing that everything outside them is rotten because of what is going on inside after trauma. Yeah. So, yeah, I think the best thing to say is I want people to go up the mountain.
You know, just great way of putting
be free.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful way of putting it. Brilliant. So you're doing a crowdfunder. When is that? What sort of format is that taking?
Well, we go live on the 1st of September. And basically, I've got some amazing entrepreneurs like yourself who have been giving me rewards. So a crowdfunding campaign, you don't just give money like to a charity. It's like you can order my book is the first level and you get a signed copy of my book when it releases. Release date's most likely January. And then there's things like there's courses that you've offered in the crowdfunder as a reward. So people can buy that course and the money goes to the publishing costs of the book. So basically the crowdfunder is to cover publishing costs, editing costs. There's more cost in getting a book out there than just going, hey, I've written it.
Oh, God,
you know, yeah. I have written it. Yay. I've lived it, you know.
Yeah.
I've worked through it. I've done a lot of work to get this book together, right? And now I need a collective community support to go to the next steps, like marketing. Yeah. It costs money to market your book. Mm-hmm. And like it be as well sat on my hard drive than not have a marketing budget.
Mm. Oh, yes.
So
yes.
This is where I'm at. I'm like, I need the community now who agree with me that the statistics are 1 in 3 women will be sexually assaulted at least once in their life in the world. One in three. That is wrong.
Yeah.
You know, so you're looking at in a room with a bunch of women in it, most like a large percentage of them have been sexually assaulted in some way at least once in their life, you know? So this is, and it's an unspoken thing. Like I've had people attack me for speaking about me being raped. I was published in the Daily Mail as a lifestyle coach who's survived so much, basically. Mm-hmm. And somebody messaged me and said, you'll never get anywhere if you tell anyone you've been raped.
Sure.
You know, you'll just be seen as a victim. And I was like, I compassionately thought that person has probably experienced something like rape or assault of some sort, and she's been told to keep quiet. And, you know, I was homeless for 7 years, and ain't nobody put butter on my bread. I had no bread, right? So mm-hmm. What are they going to do to me now? They're going to tell me, like I said, it sat on the hard drive for 2 years because I'm scared. It's scary as a woman to stand up and be like, this has happened to me. This is not wrong. Like 1 in 3 women. Why is this even a thing?
Yeah.
You know, so the crowdfunder is a way for raising funds to cover the costs of publishing and marketing, but also a way of building community around the message that I have that it is not okay.
Yeah.
That 1 in 3 women experience this in their life.
Got it.
You know, so that's what that's all about.
Amazing. And that's so the crowdfunder starts on the 1st of September 2021. Yeah. How long does the crowdfunder run?
It's only for 30 days. And we spoke about this before we come on air. That basically it's an all or nothing campaign. I am saying we raise the money to cover the cost to get this out here properly, or it doesn't get out.
Or it doesn't happen at all. Yeah.
It just doesn't happen because I've already put enough work into it. Oh, I need to take the lid off. I'm not a publisher, you know?
Oh yeah, no, quite. So basically, if anyone's interested in or anyone's even just considering contributing to the fund, the crowdfunder, please do, because if it doesn't reach the target, that book just does not get published. And think of the number of ladies out there who really need the confidence that they'll be able to build up by starting down the journey that the book inspires, just like you did, Sean, when your friend had that conversation on the mountain.
Yeah. And to the guys, I know there's guys who suffer rape as well. I'm a woman, so I can only speak from who I am and what I've lived, right? But I just want to put the awareness there that it doesn't just help women. This will help guys too. It will help any human being who has had their power taken from them, their pleasure. The book is called Rape My Pleasure. And the reason I called it Rape My Pleasure is because when somebody rapes you, they take your pleasure in life off you.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And that's my book wants to give you back the pleasure of walking up a mountain, the pleasure of going to see a sunset on your own without being scared you're going to be attacked. You know, the pleasure of having a nice cup of coffee and not being depressed every day. So that's why the book's called Rape My Pleasure. Right. 5 Steps to Recovery.
5 Steps. Nice. Where can people find out more, both about you, Sean, and about the crowdfunder and the book itself?
Well, I would say in the show notes will be the link to the crowdfunding campaign. Like I said, only live for 30 days. But my website is www.shan-young.com. So just put Sean Young in Google and you'll find me.
There you go. So yeah, as Sean says, the link to the crowdfunder, and Sean's all over the socials as well. All of our social links all be in the show notes. You can get it at the usual place, keithblakemorenoble.com/show. You find it there. And if you just want to go find out about Sean, and why wouldn't you? Go find out about her now. Sean-young.com. You'll find out more about Sean, her amazing work, her amazing journey, and her amazing crowdfunder, all at that site. Sean, time, as always, presses on. It's against us. But I just want to thank you for taking time out. I know because you're busy preparing for that crowdfunder now, it's an incredibly hectic time for you. So I really appreciate you taking your time out to share some of your journey with us, and hopefully to inspire some people to realize that no matter what's happened to them, no matter how they've been treated in the past, they can still climb that mountain. They can still go out and enjoy life. And check her out, shan-young.com. Get involved with the crowdfunder. Get in touch with Sean. Sean, thank you so much. And thank you, dear listener. Hopefully you've enjoyed this. Hopefully you've got something from it. As always, please remember, do give us a like, subscribe, share, comment. Really helps us to get in front of more and more people. I'll catch you in the next episode. And until then, I'll leave you with Sean's favorite quote. When the student is ready, the teacher comes. Hey, if you thought that was a powerful episode, if you're one of my Patreon supporters, hop over to the Patreon page where Sean shares with us 3 superpowers that we all have and we can all make use of each and every day. Bonus content exclusively for my Patreons. If you're not a Patreon, go to the show notes page, keithblakemorenoble.com/show. Check it out. Sign up. Become a patron. You can get access to lots of bonus content, just like the 3 superpowers that Sean is sharing with us right there.
You- You've been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. To find out more, please visit KeithBlakemoreNoble.com.